The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
History repeating itself. That's how the New York Times described the novel The Pull of the Stars. The book was set at the time of the 1918 Spanish influenza pandemic, and upon its release in 2020, it was met by a pandemic world that seemed all too familiar. Well, it's now been adapted into a play, and it had its world premiere last week in the Gate Theatre in Dublin. The cast includes India Mullen, Ruth McCabe and Sarah Morris, and it's a direct adaptation of that 2020 book written by Emma Donoghue, who joins me now. Emma, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Lovely to be back.
Now, you're not that prescient that you anticipated another pandemic while you were writing about a former one.
What can I say? At a time of dreadful luck worldwide, I was very lucky. No, to be honest, I didn't know that people would welcome a novel about a pandemic during a pandemic. I thought they might prefer escapism. But in fact, I think people were so touched by any story that would put frontline healthcare workers in the spotlight and emphasised their heroism and the extraordinary risks they were taking.
Now, the book and the play, therefore, set the book largely, shall we say, in a maternity hospital. There are some external scenes.
That's right, but it's almost all in this tiny little contained world. I tried to give it the atmosphere of the trenches because I thought of this as a sort of women's war. Women who were pregnant or had just given birth were particularly vulnerable to that Spanish flu. So I decided that there might be a maternity flu ward where they'd be quarantined together and kept away from other people with flu or other people having babies. So I imagined one of these in a Dublin hospital, and I imagined a dedicated nurse running it, desperate for some kind of helper, and above all, a doctor. And I was going to make a fictional doctor, and then in my researches, I came across Kathleen Lynn and decided that she was unmatchable, and so I had to include her, the real Kathleen Lynn, as a character.
So she's the only real person who populates your book and the stage. The Pull of the Stars. I mean, people will think The Plough and the Stars. Was there a deliberate echo there?
There was an echo. I grew up on O'Casey plays. Those O'Casey plays at the Abbey and the Gate were the ones that opened my eyes to the extraordinary history of Dublin and, you know, the working class, you know, slum life, the horrors these families lived through, coughing their guts up in ragged old beautiful Georgian houses. Yes, but it's also literally what flu means, influenza delle stelle, the influence of the stars. They used to believe in medieval Italy that the flu was a matter of hostile constellations, you know, pulling our chains, as it were, just arbitrarily giving us terrible illnesses. So I was trying to capture that sense.
So that's where the name influenza came from.
Absolutely.
Influenza delle stelle.
Influence, yes. You know, the website I use most is etymology.com. I find the history of words hugely suggestive in giving me entire storylines.
Now, there's all sorts of folklore about the Spanish flu, and it wasn't Spanish at all, as we know. It came from somewhere else entirely. But you had to do your researches, I presume, to capture the Dublin of the time.
But as ever, I'm always working based on the work of others. So there are two extraordinarily good books about the flu in Ireland. Even in putting on the play, they've done further research. Mae Fitzgerald, who plays Kathleen Lynn, for instance, she's been off to see the real Kathleen Lynn's houses that she lived in. She's been to look at the diaries, which were published recently. The dedication of the entire team at the Gate in getting every little detail right. They've had midwives in to make the movements and the breaths and the groans realistic. They have on the set, they have a beautiful pair of old forceps from the desk of the master of the rotunda. So this production has such roots in Dublin history and is so accurate and accountable about the real history of hospital care in Dublin.
And again, that we talk about the echo of Sean O'Casey and The Plough and the Stars, and you've got the maternity hospital next door to where you're playing.
You know, this play happened because Roisin McGrinn, artistic director of The Gate, she looked out her office window in her new job running The Gate and she looked at the rotunda and thought, oh, that book of Emma's, is there any chance we can make a play of that?
So that's how it came about.
Idea. Yep.
Now, transferring a book to the stage, what are the limitations? Obviously, The Gate, the proscenium arch is small. The space to play on is relatively small. So you've got to, as playwright, you've got to imagine how it might be presented.
The real limit is not space, but time. A play or a film is always going to be more compact than a book. So you have to ruthlessly cut. We, for instance, squashed several characters together into one. We decided that all the men would stay off stage. So, you know, in the background, Nurse Julia Power is living with a brother who's mute after his experience at war. That doesn't make it onto the stage, but she comes in wearing a carnation that he gave her for her birthday. So it's ruthlessly excising, like surgery, really. And above all, making it not last too long. It's a very intense 100 minutes, no interval even. And it passes like a whirlwind because we're trying to capture that atmosphere of a medical ward in a time of total crisis and chaos. And the actors are just as busy as nurses are. They're whipping around the stage full time looking after people.
Now, in terms of your medical researches, how different was the impact of influenza on pregnant women compared to ordinary women or ordinary men?
It's far worse. There's something about its effect on the immune system. It tended to bring on miscarriage, early birth, stillbirth, inexplicable death just after birth. It was dreadfully dangerous for them. And you know, the difference between medical care now and back then is that we had so many more tools to meet the COVID pandemic, even before there was a vaccine. In 1918, they had the motto for nurses of watch and wait. So much they couldn't do a thing about. Kathleen Lynn was working away trying to find a vaccine because she thought, like everybody else, that it was a bacterium. They didn't know that there was such a thing as viruses. They didn't have the microscopes to show them a particle that small. So they were really working in the dark and just doing their best to look after these women enough that they might be lucky enough to pull through.
Now, the period we're talking about, we think of the Great War as an imperial war, but yet so many Irish people joined up because there was a living to be made, maybe put bread on the table for those left at home. But then we had the devastation of the Somme and all of that. Meantime, in the background, we have a burgeoning Irish state yet to be formed.
You know, that's one reason I set it in Ireland. You could have set this play in a maternity ward anywhere in the world, but Ireland was going through such a fascinating birth itself in those years. And there would be such extraordinary tensions between, you know, Julia with her brother just back from Gallipoli, whereas one of the patients, Mary Tierney, her brother is involved in the Rising, so was Kathleen Lynn. So these extraordinary social forces all meeting in this tiny little ward where they have to pull together. And what's lovely is to take characters who have so much reason to quarrel with each other, but to force them to work together because of the imminent crisis of each birth or each possible death, and to find moments of sisterhood and joy and even humour in that tension. That was a lovely
You've actually
time.
Said that the business of birth, which is so routine because all of us got here via that method, that it's, for many people, it's just a crapshoot.
You know, it's so unpredictable. Birth is the most dangerous day of a baby's life and typically of a woman's life as well. And yet, if all goes well, it can be an utterly healthy business. So I find it narratively irresistible, birth, partly because it's so little written about. You know, we write about, you know, murders and wars and crimes all the time. And we rarely write about the ordinary, extraordinary drama of how babies come out. Mm. And it can go so well or so wrong for mother or baby or both.
And undoubtedly in the play, this has got to happen. It's not going to be happy endings all around. But you do have to create a narrative arc, don't you, for any play?
Absolutely. And you have to dole out those fates, those destinies unpredictably and yet in a way that feels true. And you have to, what I loved was capturing the kind of ups and downs of the mood in the ward. You know, sometimes they're having a laugh, they're having a song even, and then the next minute there's blood on the floor. So I loved that unpredictability. It keeps it really fresh. It saves it from being an obvious kind of drama.
What is it about confinement? And I don't mean that in the labour sense, in the labour ward, but confinement that appeals to you. I mean, yeah. This drama in one small labour ward in one Dublin hospital or room, which be a book that became a movie
I know,
as well.
Or even, you know, Haven, the novel I've been promoting mm-hmm. for the Dublin Literary Award, that one is set on Skellig Michael with only three people. So I agree, I do this, whether they're men or women, medieval or modern, I stick them in very small situations. There's one literary reason, which is that you can get an increased... It's like turning up the heat, you know, characters clash with each other more if you don't give them any way of getting away. Every line of dialogue becomes meaningful because, you know, they're stuck together. And similarly, I think there's another reason, which is the lives of women have traditionally been too small, you know, have like stuck at home or not allowed to go to school under the Taliban or, you know, sweatshop labourers. So I think a lot of women have had lives of chafing against confinement. And as you say, confinement also meant the period around around birth. You know, it's typical of the history of women to be stuck in a room and wanting to get out. So that's why a lot of my dramas have emerged.
I'm sure many women in Ireland would complain that we still haven't got a true emancipation, true equality and so on. But when you look around the world, there are so many places where women are absolutely still oppressed, which is disheartening.
That's so true. And I find it very heartening that Ireland has remade itself so much in my lifetime. I mean, you know, I'm going in to talk to my old school, Muckross, today. I haven't been back since 1987. And when I think of the different social world those girls are emerging into than I was in 1987, and in many ways, a much better Ireland with so many more opportunities and freedoms for them. So I find it thrilling to see a modern pluralist democracy like Ireland, you know, transform itself, and not without birthing pangs, of course, not without fights, not without, you know, terrors of new dangers like the rise of the far right, but to see change happening so fast.
But isn't it interesting that at the end of the day in the play, it's all about women, if they want to have families, never being able to escape their biology in ways that men can just, if they like, ignore.
That's right. All the women in this play, whether like we have a posh patient who's been brought in from a private, from her GP, and we have one straight from the slums, we have one from a mother and baby home, but in a way, they're all playing that same, you know, roulette wheel. It's not all determined by their class or even their age or whether they've got money. There's an element of the random to it.
Yeah, and they've climbed on the roller coaster.
Indeed, and it makes for great drama, I have to say, and such a stunning production, The Gate of Mounted. Louise Lowe, our director, I have to say, is a particular genius.
Working now in so many genres, be it on the printed page, if you're writing books, or indeed you're involved in the production of a play, or writing a screenplay for a movie which eventually goes on the big screen. I mean, you are multifaceted now. Is there any particular endeavour that you prefer?
You know, I have to say, I think theatre is at that sweet spot between the social aspects of theatre and film are marvellous. But in film, the writer really doesn't get to call the shots. And equally, at home alone, I get to call all the shots in writing fiction, but there's no one to have lunch with, you know.
Yeah.
So theatre is fantastically social and collaborative, and yet they respect the word of the writer so much. I mean, in the rehearsal room, I kept saying, like, oh, you tripped over that bit, will I change it? And they'd be like, no, I'll get it right. So there was a lovely, lovely kind of negotiation around everything.
So it's not finished until the final rehearsal, you may tweak.
Indeed, sure. I was tweaking till opening night. It's a living thing, a play is, you know. And I'm sure it'll vary with the audiences over the course of the next month. I mean, that's a lovely thing. If you see a play several nights in a row, different audiences bring out different different laughs, different responses, different gasps.
Well, it's called The Pull of the Stars. It's based on the original book by my guest. It's running until the 12th of May in the Gate Theatre, booking there and not to be missed. Emma Donoghue, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
It's been a pleasure, Pat. Thanks.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.